You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Hungry for adventure? Then travel to A La Carte, the charming land below the floating city of Heavenly Delight, and join the young cook Ramen for her daily dose of wacky hijinks in the new series Delicious. With a cast of eccentric, strong female characters, this wonderfully illustrated comedy comic will be out in July, but you can pre-order now by clicking the banner on the page for this podcast. Get the limited hardcover first edition, plus free stickers and an art print as a gift.
Wow, stickers!
A perfect gift for your child, or those of you who are forever young at heart. One of Us strongly recommends this one.
Okay, guys, just for legal reasons, I want to let you guys all know that we cannot refer to that character that this franchise is most often associated with. We legally cannot say his name. So before we start this, let's talk about the new CBS show, Clarice, which, to get ahead of myself, I've only seen half of.
Confession here.
So I decided I work the best as being an audience surrogate for this because I watched six episodes, decided, fuck this. This is not for me. I have too much allegiance to that show named after that guy who we're not going to mention beforehand to let it go. And, you know, I have Paramount Plus anyways, and this show is pretty much canceled. So I have brought on three lovely individuals to try and convince me to either watch or don't watch the show. First person I have is Neil.
Good evening, Nathan.
Good evening, Neil. I have Elliot.
Hello, hello.
And I have Jen.
Hey, everybody.
Now, Jen, it is true. You do like a perfect Jodie Foster impression, right?
Absolutely not. Accents are not us.
Well, you'd be perfect for the... Oh, wait, shit. I can't make that joke because I can't mention that dude's name. That movie... God damn it. Anyways, guys, so we're talking about Clarice here. Clarice is sort of like an adaptation slash pseudo sequel spinoff to Silence of the Lambs. You know that iconic film with that character that we're not going to mention. And Clarice Starling. And this basically takes place a year afterwards. She's still dealing with the trauma of Buffalo Bill and her therapy sessions with that cannibal guy. She is now being more tapped than ever to work for the FBI to track down all your Law and Order SVU types, your sexual predators, your murderers, your serial killers. Basically, that's all I can really say. It's kind of just more procedural level. There's an overarching plot that I obviously didn't get to because I didn't finish this show. I'm going to just get this out of the way with my rating of the six episodes that I've seen. I would give this 2 moths out of 10. I'm going to move over to Neil. Neil, why should I watch this show, or should I watch this show?
You should totally watch this show. Going into this, I had only two concerns. I've been excited about this IP, this world. You know, the character, let's call him Danable, that I think has seduced us and scared us for so long. There was a show featuring that character. That show, I think, is near art. It is amazing through and through. And then, like, I hope this show wouldn't try to copy that. And then I was also worried if the lead would try to impersonate Jodie Foster's rendition of Clarice. And neither of those things happen. You know, it's a year later, the senator from Silence of the Lambs is now the AG, and Clarice is very happy being well behind the scenes. She's working in, I think it's like a windowless office, just doing stuff, but the AG wants to bring her back out in the light again to haunt a monster and do it very publicly because Clarice was splashed all over the place after the Buffalo Bill case. And the show, I don't think it was trying to be procedural at all. I think it was still trying to tell her story, like all the wreckage that had happened, because nobody involved with the Buffalo Bill stuff came out of it unscathed whatsoever. Clarice, the Catherine, we later meet Buffalo Bill's mother. Like, she's wrecked of all this stuff. And Clarice is brought in to hunt a monster, and it's not your typical monster. We soon kind of find out it's a way bigger web, but then the show turns again, and it really was kind of her looking for a monster in the end, but you don't know that. And I think the show did a really good job of telling that and showing us Clarice taking these first baby steps a year later to try to heal. She's just kind of swallowed and pushed all this stuff down. No, I'm fine. I got this. And you keep seeing clues. And the few people she lets even close to her see very few clues. She doesn't got this. Like, she's gripping the handlebars way too tight. And it's going to tear her apart. And by the end of the show, we see her take those first little baby steps. So it didn't hit the two things I was worried about, copying the other show and copying Jodie Foster. But it was still stylistic. It looked good. I thought the cast was really well done. We slowly learned more about her team, and it really built, I think, those as people, not just tools for Clarice to use. And then we got more Clarice. Like, we got a lot more background on her, of course, 10 episodes versus one movie. Finish it, Nathan. You got 6 to go. You're past the halfway point. You quitter?
Yeah. Ugh. Okay, Elliot, why should I watch the show, or shouldn't I?
Well, I will say that I don't know the actress's name right offhand, but whoever's playing Clarice is really doing a bang-up job, and she isn't copying Jodie Foster, but she's really close. But it works. It's really good. She is easily the best thing about this. It's just a shame, because this whole show feels like... It doesn't feel like a Silence of the Lambs show. It feels like procedural that's just been reskinned for Silence of the Lambs, and not even... in a sort of well-fitting way. There is stuff about her backstory, but it's so ham-fistedly done and poorly executed in a lot of ways, and that, you know, they're clearly trying to make you think something is happening one way when it's really happening another. For the most part, I just found myself not really caring. The show is incredibly dry to me. Characters come in and out. For the most part, they're overacting, really kind of hamming it up. It just doesn't do anything for the show. There's just this kind of generic plot about some pharmaceutical company that goes to some really weird, dark places, kind of like they felt they needed to take it a little darker because this is, you know, Silence of the Lambs and blood and gore happens. And there's a lot with the senator's daughter who is suffering PTSD. It just, none of it really worked for me. Nothing in the show ever ended up gelling together at all. There was another character that's kind of like, I can't remember his name. It was probably like Murray or something, because he looks like a Murray. He's bald and got like big glasses and has like clearly been with the police for 30,000 years or something. And he was kind of fun. I've already forgotten a lot of the show. It's just so saltine crackers with the salt scraped off.
Shit. Jen, should I or shouldn't I watch this show?
Well, I think it just depends on what type of shows you like. I watch a lot of crime dramas. I like shows like Mindhunter and like... I had another example and it just went right out of my brain. But I dug this show, so I'm going to be the cheerleader for it, I guess, on this review, which is strange. I'm a fan of the subject matter to begin with, of the characters and the style. I like that this feels a lot different. It gives you a different skin, pun intended, on some properties that we've seen done in pretty indicative ways. Like, this feels very different, and I liked that about it. I liked that it was focusing on a lot of strong female characters, which you don't get a lot of in a lot of series these days. I liked the characters that it chose to follow. I wish that we got a little bit more of a few of the characters. I waited until all of the series had come out before I watched any of it. So I've watched all of it within the last 3 days. And I went into it thinking like, all right, I might not even have time to get through all of this because I have so much work on my plate. And if it doesn't really grip me, I might just not have time. But I found myself getting through the first 2 episodes and then I couldn't put it down. So I watched the entire 13 episodes in 3 days and don't regret a minute of it. And I was telling my partner about it as I was watching it and giving him like a blow by blow of the whole show. And if you like crime dramas, if you liked Mindhunter, you're probably going to enjoy this show.
I'm in between because, like, oh, that's the sort of thing that I...
True Detective. That was the other show.
Oh, fuck.
Why True Detective.
Why you got to bring True Detective in here? You're actually, it feels like selling me. Based off of what I have seen, it seems that everybody in the cast is completely committed. Like, that is the big thing. And I hate to use this comparison because it doesn't sound like a great one, but this almost feels like a Roger Corman Fantastic Four case where the actual project itself is made to secure the rights, but a lot of the people involved in it are clearly dedicated to what they're making, even though what they're making is sort of screwed from the get-go. This is just how I'm thinking about this, since this property has been sitting on the shelf for a while. There wasn't really like an urge to push this out outside of what I would imagine to be a contractual obligation to do something with the character of Clary Starling and all the other characters from The Silence of the Lambs, minus the guy who has that Conqueror name. Based off of what I saw, I do think the actress Rebecca Breeds does a solid job as Clarice. I disagree that I think she does an impression of Jodie Foster, but she manages to make it work. You know, like,
fall on her accent. I think she went for that type of accent, but I didn't hear Jodie's Southern accent out of this version of Clarice. So don't fall on I think someone could, like, well, they sound alike and they talk alike, but I think there's way more depth here. And yeah, she had more episodes, more time than Jodie, but you buy that here's this diminutive woman, because you see every other FBI agent, she barely comes up to their shoulders, but she owns those rooms. We don't get to see Clarice really do that much in the movie because there's not much group settings. There's like one or two, that's it. But I think she really put a new brand on the character. I didn't feel like she was impersonating her at all. Yeah, they both have very distinct accents, but past that, I didn't see any similarities.
There's a lot more dynamic range, too. She shows a lot more emotion than Jodie Foster gets to show during the movie. Right? A lot more emotion. I mean, you go through the whole gamut of it, and her relationships with the people close to her, even if it's in an antagonistic manner. Like, some of the best lines in the whole show were when she was telling off her therapist in, like, episode 3 or whatever it is, when she breaks up with her therapist. The lines that came out of that episode just slayed. And there were several instances of the strong characters in the show getting to clap back at people in a very, like, straight, I'm not upset, I'm looking you in the eye, and I'm calmly telling you to go fuck yourself. Fabulous. Just here for it.
Felt a little bit like she was channeling Danable a little bit.
Absolutely.
I guess those were just surrounded by a lot of, like, nothing happening, though. And even in a lot of those scenes, I mean, the therapist scene was interesting and actually, I think, made me look up at the show for the first time in about half an hour. But, you know, the way that a lot of her trauma was being presented and these memories and dreams just felt so clunky and weird. I felt like the editor was trying to show off.
I'll agree with that.
More than they were actually crafting something.
Yeah, it felt a bit disjointed.
I can't argue with that either. I liked it, though. It didn't feel clunky, but fair. I could totally see, because there is some stuff that's, ooh, I found this lens flare in Adobe Premiere. Watch this, or whatever it was. Like, I found a new tool. I saw this YouTube video how we could do this transition. I want to find a way to work it in there.
They're like, we've all heard the sheep story. We all know where that's going. And, like, the need to beat us over the head with it. I'm like, it's been done. Like, it's like the pearls hitting the concrete in exactly. Every Batman origin story. Like, yeah. Been done, folks. Like, yep. You don't really need to do that exact same bit from a different angle to establish yourself in this world. We get it. Mention it, move on.
I think this show had a couple of strikes against it being... On Paramount Plus, they didn't give it any prominence. You had to, there's no way to save shows or list them. I had to search for it every time if I didn't DVR it.
I mean, I have Paramount Plus too, and I'll say they don't give any shows any notice. Like,
well, if it's not Star Trek,
they'll give The Good Fight like a whole banner, and I'll try and watch the latest episode of The Good Fight, and I'll press it, and it'll be like, would you like to start season 1? And I'm like, where can I find season 5? And they're like, you're fucked.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, God.
And I think some people were hoping for a Silence sequel. I didn't want a sequel. I wanted a whole new story. I didn't want her necessarily chasing a monster like we saw in the movie, and that's how she's brought in, but it quickly turns where it's not, and she's fighting that the whole way. So I was getting what I wanted out of this show.
I've heard from a lot of people that it finds its groove towards the end.
It finds a groove. It goes into a very different groove towards the last half of the series than I thought it was going to take. Like, it takes a very hard right turn that I didn't know to expect, and I'm not displeased with it, but it made some interesting choices for sure.
I think we ought to get into final thoughts. I mean, my final thought is, you guys have sold me. I'll trek through the last like 7 episodes. I'm a completionist for Danibal. I even sat through Danibal Rising, and all 3 seasons of Danibal, which are fantastic, and even the Ridley Scott Danibal. I'm gonna stop saying Danibal. What are your guys' thoughts on Clarice getting into ratings? Neil, what would you give this?
Like I said, I went in with a couple of reservations. They didn't hit those. They went new areas. I enjoyed it. It was a little tricky. You know, another strike against it is there'd be these weird gaps of 2-3 weeks between episodes. But if people are listening to this now, it's all out. You can watch it at your own pace. I felt they captured the early 90s fine without shoving it down your throat. But I'm going to give it 8.5 out of 10 pagers, because the pagers are really prominent of how the FBI communicates with itself in 1993.
Elliot?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've said most of my piece. I really like crime dramas. I watch a lot of them. So I've seen Silence of the Lambs more than a few times. I haven't seen the show that rhymes with Mandible. But actually, after watching this, I kind of want to. This just really didn't do it for me, I think. Unless you are an absolute Silence of the Lambs universe completionist, there's just kind of no reason to check this out. There's probably other procedurals on Paramount Plus that are not great that are better than this. I was just pretty bored to tears through most of this. I will give the lead actress a lot of kudos. She did a great job. Some of the show looks good, although a lot of the times kind of slips into feeling overly polished and just kind of tacky. So I'm going to give this 2.5 out of 10 baskets full of lotion.
Jen.
Things that need to be said that haven't been yet. There were 2 performances in the show that I was particularly happy with. And it found me wanting to know more about the characters. So Thomas Esquivel, played by Luca de Oliveira, and then Ardelia Mapp, played by Devon A. Tyler. They were both fantastic. Like, Devon was just, like, the cold steel of logic and reason in the show. And I found her take on everything to be really interesting. Like, she took some hard stances, and I really loved her sense of ethics throughout the show and her loyalty. Like, the relationship between her and Clarice in the show was very unique. In a lot of shows, somebody has to do something that favors themselves and throws a friend under the bus, and it'll be this big, you know, elephant in the room between them, and they won't ever talk about it, and it'll explode. That didn't happen in the show. Like, a thing happens, she immediately comes to Clarice and says, look, this thing is going to happen, and I wanted you to hear it from me. And then Clarice goes and backs her up, and is like, I support you, do the thing you have to do, even though this is going to kick me in the teeth. That was a really unique moment, and I really was here for it. And then I really loved Thomas Esquivel. He was kind of the undercurrent of steel throughout the show and had some of the most charming and organic moments, I thought. So their performances were fantastic, and I really want to know much more about their characters in future seasons that I hope will happen. What? No? Is it done? Ugh,
yeah,
sad.
It technically kind of got nixed because they basically said, if we'd like to do more, we'd do more on Paramount Plus. And an insider from Paramount Plus is like, yeah, we're not really going to touch it. And then
sad.
Amazon bought MGM, so all those rights are all fucky.
Oh,
so,
I was reading about that, yeah.
Once again, Silence of the Lambs is owned by another place that will probably not be able to get these 2 warring sequels of Red Dragon and Silence of the Lambs together.
Guys, get your shit together and give us the cinema that I want. Not everybody wants, but I want. So I overall enjoyed it. As I said, the storyline took a turn that I thought was a bit strange. But hey, suits the genre and it suits the story. The entirety of the season felt a lot like True Detective for me, in that it starts with what you think is going to be a bite-sized episode, and come to find out there's this underbelly happening throughout the whole thing that's driving you towards a big culminating moment. And that happens in the show, and I think that's fascinating when that happens. I enjoyed it. I would probably watch it again. I'm going to give this 8.5 out of 10 Hail Mary envelopes shipped to someone's relative that you don't expect at the last minute.
Well, shit, you guys have thoroughly convinced me. I guess before this is all out, if you guys have not seen the NBC show Hannibal, you really have to... Oh, fuck, I said it. Oh, God, it's over. The review is over, everybody. Review is over. Stop your recording. We need to delete this. Scrap this.